Okay, so I want to do something a little bit unconventional. The topic is tefillah, and I want to start with the end of Shmona Esrei. Okay, Elokai Netzor. All right, so here we have the paragraph of Elokai Netzor, which is not one of the brachos, not one of the brachos of Shmona Esrei. Okay, it was added, it's not a brach at all. It's added in later on. The Gemara brings it down in Maseches Brachos and Daf Yedzayin Amud Aleph. The Gemara says that Marbri de Ravina was the author of this tefillah. And if you take a look at the tefillah over there in the Gemara, it's almost identical to the tefillah we have in our Shmona Esrei. Okay, now I'm going to put in the chat, let's see if I can do this just so you can see it. Hold on 1 second. If you open up a sitter, here we go. Okay, you have the text over here. Okay, you have the text over here now on the side. Okay, but you open up your sitter. Here we go. So this is almost word for word of the tefillah that Mar Beit Ravina used to say every single day at the end of his davening. And what's going on over here? So we'll start off Elokai Netzor Lashoni Meira. So these first few words are based on the pasuk, the famous pasuk in Tehillim, Perek Lamed Aleph pasuk Yud Gimel through Tezvav. Mi Aish Achafitz Chaim? Who is the person that desires life? Oh, Evyamim Leros Tov. He loves the days, Liros Tov, to see good. And it's Sor Lashon Chameiros Vasech Medaber Mirma. A person should watch his mouth from speaking badly and his lips from speaking trickery. So here there's a very big difference between the pasuk in Tehillim and our pasuk in our sentence in Shmoneh Esrei. In Tehillim, right? In Tehillim, it's a command basically. It's saying a man has to guard his mouth from speaking bad. While in our tefillah, we switch it around and we're saying, Hashem, can you please help me to watch my mouth from speaking badly? So which one is it? Is it on us or is it from Hashem that Hashem is going to help us do this? So this is a kasha that the Avudram asked in the 1400s. And the Ribben Yakar asks the same question. The Ribben Yakar, we've quoted in the past, whoever was in the Shurim, was a Rebbe of the Ramban, Nachmanides, okay? And most of the Avudraham's Perush comes from the Ribben Yakar. So they both ask this question, is it on us, or is it on Hashem, that we're asking Hashem to help us, like we find in our Shmoneh Esrei? So the Avudraham answers that, yeah, it's true, it's on us, like the Pasuk in Tehillim. It's on you to watch your mouth. On us to watch our mouths, right? But we're asking Hashem to help us. Hashem, help us fulfill our job, that which you are demanding from us. But the Ribben Yakar says something a little bit different, which sheds a little bit of light. He quotes a Medrash Tanchuma in Parshas Toldos, last week's Parsha, yesterday's Parsha. He says, the Medrash says that there are three different, we'll call it limbs, parts of our body that we're in control of, and other parts that we're not in control of. What are we in control of? We're in control over our hands, our legs, and our mouth, right? We decide if we want to open up our mouth and speak. We decide if we want to walk. We decide if we want to move our hands. However, when it comes to our ears, our smell, and our sight, we like to think that we're in control of it, right? But at the end of the day, if you're walking in the street and you see something, you might not have meant to see something, but you see it, right? Or if you're someone speaks and you hear it, you hear it. If you hear it, if you don't like it, you can close your ears, right? But bottom line is, it goes in and it functions. And the same thing with the smell. You could be somewhere and you can start smelling something. The level of control that we have over those areas are not the same. But our hands, our mouth, and our legs, we're in full control over. So the Ribben Yakar says that that's what we're davening for. We're davening for, the Medrash says over there, that even though we're in full control of our mouth, but sometimes, even the things that we're in control over, Hashem takes control over. For example, Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu that I'm in control of your mouth. I can decide if you're going to speak or not. And therefore, the Ribben Yakar says that it's true. It's a command. we have to go ahead and we have to watch our mouths. It's true. But in cases that we're not in control, for whatever the reason is, on those instances, we're davening to Hashem that He should make it for the good. We shouldn't come to do anything bad. Okay, let's move on. The word Netzor means to watch over, like Shmira, but it's an intense Shmira. Okay, it's not a regular watching over. Netzor means a high level of Shmira. So here, we're asking for big stuff. And there's a fundamental switch that we have in the pasuk here. Again, it's based on this pasuk, the same words as pasuk. We say, Lishoncha, we want our Netzor, Elokai Netzor Lishoni. We want our Netzor, our Lishoni, our mouth, our tongue, to be protected from Ra, Usfasai, and my lips to be protected from Mirma. So we have Lishoni together with Ra, and Sfasai together with Mirma. Why the switch, right? We've learned that any time, it's not just poetics here, it's not just like, you know, there's a good rule in editing, can't use the same word twice, you have to always try to find something different. That's not what's going on over here, okay? There's a pasuk in Tehillim, there's our tefillah. Why specifically does Lishoni, my tongue, that why does that go with Ra and Sfasai, my lips, go together with Mirma? Okay, so here we have to go back for a second to see what's the difference between Lishoni and Sfasai. What's the difference between when we talk about our tongue and we talk about our lips? So the Gra in the beginning of Shmon Esrei, in the Siddur Agra, the Ishe Yisrael, they bring the Avnei Elio, who's the son of the Gra, he brings down the parish of the Gra. This Gra is also, I found, in Mishlei. If you want to take a look, it's a little bit different over there, but the same is sowed in Mishlei Perek Dalet Pasach Av Dalet 4:24. So the Gra says as follows. He says that when it comes to pee, my mouth or my tongue, that means something very direct. As opposed to Sfasai, my lips, that implies elaborate speech. Okay? When it comes to Sfasai, elaborate speech, so then we ask for example, the beginning of Shemoneh Esrei, Hashem Sfasai Tiftach. Elaborate speech, we ask Hashem to open up. Open me up so I can elaborate on everything I want to say. I have a lot of thoughts. I have a lot of feelings. So in my elaboration of speech, please, Tiftach, open me up. P, my mouth, or my tongue, meaning the inside part behind my lips, okay? In contrast, that is more concise, precise speech, exact, and that's the word yagid. Yagid also means specific speech, and therefore we ask Hashem that when we say the exact words of the Shemona Esrei that the Anshe Knesset Gedola set up, Hashem, Sfasai Tiftach, when it comes to my feelings and the things that I want to just elaborate on, my lips, Sfasai Tiftach, open me up. Ufi yagid, but my mouth, which talks about direct, specific, yagit hilasacha, it should speak out my praise in a direct way. So the same thing over here at the end of Shemona Esrei, we have the same idea. We have Elokai Nitzor Lishoni Meira, Usfasai Medaber Mirma. What's the difference between Ra and Mirma? So here, the Gra says the same thing, and also the Iyun Tefillah written by the Ksava Kabbalah, of Yaakov Tzvi Mecklenburg, lived at the end of the 1700s. He was a Rav in Germany. And he says as follows. He says, Ra means Lashon Hara. Ra means something bad, direct, straight. This guy did something bad. That's Ra. When you speak Ra, this guy did something bad, that's straight. Nothing trickery, no confusing. You're being direct. And therefore, when it comes to Lishoni, which we said is the inner part of the mouth, like the word peh, that's direct, precise. That goes with Ra. This person cheated on his income taxes. That's my mouth speaking directly. And Ra is direct, evil speech. However, there's another type of bad speech that we could have. And that is when it's hidden and it's couched in something good. So for example, I could go ahead and I could try to give someone an Eitzah. On the outside, it looks like, whoa, he's so nice. He's giving a good advice. He's trying to help the person, right? And really, you're trying to mess the guy up. And when you take a step back, he's like, hey, he just said something bad about someone. right? Or you can tell a story, and it looks like you're just saying something very, very nice. But at the end of the day, you're really saying something bad. So there, it's a hidden type of evil speech. It's not direct. It's not exact. It's not blatantly obvious, but it's there. So there on the Sfasai, where we go ahead and we talk about elaborate, again, the lips represent elaborate type of a speech. So by the Sfasai, that links together with Mirma. We're asking Hashem, Nitzor, protect me from speaking in an elaborate way and going around and saying bad stuff when people don't necessarily see that my intentions are bad. Meaning, on some level, Sfasai, Midavir, Mirma, refers to what we call echad bepeh echad belev. On one hand, I think one way, but I'm speaking something different, right? I'm making it look like I'm saying something good, but inside, I'm thinking bad, hoping for bad, and really trying to direct for the bad. Okay, so that is mirma, something, unfortunately, that some of us have to, we have to hold ourselves back from, and that's a tefillah that we're saying over here that we want to be protected from that. It's interesting that the Sfasayim are split, right? The two lips are split. So that represents like a split in the way that you're speaking. Right? It looks good, but you're really speaking bad. It looks like you're trying to help someone, but you're really not. Okay, as opposed to the tongue is singular, the peh is singular. It's straight, clear, one. Sfasai, where it's split, represents a split type of a speech. Echad the peh, the echad the lev, different from the way you're speaking to what you're really feeling. Okay, so there that is the we're asking, that's the first thing we're asking for over here, that Hashem should protect us from evil speech. Again, direct evil speech and convoluted evil speech. Okay. Then we move on to Vilim Kalalai Nafshi Tidom. Vilim Kalalai Nafshi Tidom. So here, Marshan Brachos and Dav Yizayinu Ben Aleph, when the Gemara quotes that tefillah of Mar Bar Ravina. The question is, where's the comma go? Okay, with the comma of a makalalai, those who curse me, nafshi tidom. What is it on? Is the comma after the word nafshi, or is the comma after the word v'makalalai? V'makalalai, those who curse me, comma, nafshi tidom. My soul should be silent. We'll translate it that for now. Meaning I shouldn't respond. I shouldn't yell the guy back. He cursed me out. I'm not going to go yell at him. I'm not going to go fight with him. I'm not going to deal with him. Leave it alone. That's when the comma is afterward, the makalalai. But there's another way to read it. The Marsha speaks out. The makalalai nafshi, to those who curse my soul, tidom, let them be silent and not curse me anymore. Okay? So again, the question is it referring to me? That the makalalai, those who curse me, nafshi tidom, I'm asking Hashem to help me not to respond, just let it go. Or the makalalai nafshi, those who curse my soul, tidom, they, those cursers, should be silenced. Okay. The Ian Tfila writes that he goes with the first way. I think that's the common way of understanding, right? The makalalai, those who curse me, nafshi tidom, I shouldn't respond, I should be quiet. So the Ian Tfila says, what that really means is liot min ha-ne'elavim v'lo min ha-olvim, that I should be from those people that get embarrassed or hurt, but I shouldn't be the ones that hurt someone else. When the nefesh hears what a person has to say, it doesn't have to respond. You just leave it alone. And the Ian Tfila quotes the Rambam. The Rambam in Pirkei Avos, in Perek Dalet, Mishnah Dalet, he speaks about this nida of, you can take a look at it inside, I don't have so much time right now, but he talks about that a chassid once said that he was on a boat and he was living in the quarters, the lowest quarters where the poor people live. And a rich man came and he relieved himself on him. On this poor guy. And the poor guy didn't get angry at him. And it didn't bother him. And that gave him, this is the Rambam writes, that gave the chassid a tremendous amount of joy, that is, he was able to reach the point that his nefesh wouldn't be affected by such negative behavior. There's a high level, and that's what we're asking on. Those who trample on me, those who do something bad to me, those who hurt me, nafshi sidom, I'm able to hold myself back from going ahead and responding. To the extent, this is very interesting, this is actually a sefer that I got into very, very recently. The Ian Tfila I told you was written by Yaakov Tzvi Kellenberg, but he also wrote a sefer called Aksava HaKabbalah. don't know if anyone ever heard of this, the Perush on Chumash. Okay, I just started learning it. So the Ksav HaKabbalah on Chumash is absolutely amazing. And he much focused on words, on different words, and how words have like many, many multiple meanings, and they're all the Shoresh, all relate to one another. Okay, so I think it was on Vayidom Aharon that he explains, what does the word Vayidom mean? He says, Vayidom means, it's from the word Domeh, that it's similar to. So we normally think Sidom means that I should be quiet. My nephew should be quiet. He says, no, that's not a correct translation. The word Tidom really means that it should be similar to. What does that mean? It should be similar to the, as if it was a good thing that happened. Meaning there's no difference in the good and the bad. And okay, in that case, what comes out is that you're quiet, right? You don't respond because you don't get upset. But he says that it should be like the word domet, it should be similar to if a person praised me. Nashi sidom, it should be always the same. It should always be similar, whether it's good, whether it's bad. And that's what comes out is that a person's quiet. The word, the real root of the word tidom is from the word domet. And it means that it should be to him like a shvach. Someone embarrassed you or something like that, but it should be as if a guy praised you. So you just go ahead and just take it. Like we said, the story from the chassid that the rabbi brings in Pirush Mishnayos on Pirkei Avos. Okay. Then, let's move on. So, Kalai Nafshi Sidom, V'nafshi Ke'afar Lakol Tihye. What does it mean that Nafshi should be Ke'afar Lakol Tihye? So actually, Tosos speaks about this in Brachos on that Gemara, and Tosos says, "Ma afar eno mikabel kileha kilya laolam kein yiratzum shizari lo yichle laolam." What it means is just like dirt can never get ruined. You can't ruin dirt. Dirt stays dirt. So too my offsprings lo yichle should never get destroyed. Kimoshu omer vayezar chak kaafar haaretz. That Hashem said that the Yezara will be like the Afar Aretz. And when Hashem told Avraham, what does it mean like the Afar Aretz? It means that it's going to stay forever. That's the word Afar means that it's something that's going to stay forever. Yeah, that's what Tosa says. So Vinashi ke Afar Lakol Tiyeh. Tosa says what it means is that it's going to it'll stay forever. But the Iyun Tefillah has a different pshat. And he says as follows. He says, a person should think that every other person is bigger and more important than himself. Okay, v'nafshi ke'afar l'kol tiyeh is a tefillah on becoming humble. Humility. That I should be like afar to everyone else. Like the Ramban and the Igeres HaRamban writes about this, right? That's the best way to work against one's gaiva, is to look at other people as being bigger. Even if you've learned more than him, but he might be greater because it took a lot more work for him to learn that one page of Gemara. Yeah, you know more. You're doing Daf Yomi. You're finishing Shas. You know Halacha, whatever it is. So you can think you're better. But really, that other person, either based on where he came from or the amount of amelus, the amount of work that he put into it, that's not a... He gets more schar. So therefore, a person at this moment, Nashika, Farla, Kotia, we're asking Hashem to help us to recognize that the other person is better. And it's very interesting. The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, "Al tachzik tova la'atzmacha ki lekach notzarta." You shouldn't hold good for yourself because that's what you were created. Now, the simple explanation over there is that look, you were supposed to do the work, so you did it. Big deal. You did what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to, like Rabbeinu Yonah says over there in Pirkei Avos, if someone pays it back a loan, you're supposed to say thank you to the guy. He borrowed the money. He's supposed to give it back to you. When you do what you're supposed to do, you shouldn't pat yourself on the back. But the Mabit, in his introduction to the Beis Elokim, and the Vilna Gaon says this in Mishlei also, in Perek Tezayin, Pasuk Chav Vav, and also the Chochmas Betzalel. Chochmas Betzalel has a parish on Nida. Mesach has Nida. Perek Daf Tezayin of the Beis. Page 203, if you want to look it up. Okay? They explain differently. They say, Al tachzik tova la'atzmecha, why ki lekach notzarta, you were born with certain talents. Every person is born with different circumstances than another person. So ki lekach notzarta, it was for this that you were created, because you were born with the ability to learn. You're smart, you have this, you have that, you have the money, you have the resources, whatever it is, you went to yeshiva, whatever it is. So don't pat yourself on the back, because you were born with these things. The other guy, He maybe wasn't born with it, he had to overcome certain things to get there. But if you reach something, because those were your talents, your inborn talents, that you don't have to walk around depressed, right? But it means that you have to realize that you have an advantage. You were born with certain things that allow you to go ahead and be successful. So the Ian Phila says something amazing. He goes with this parish that I just quoted you. He says that you were created for this purpose. And he says that that's what it means. That's what it means. Vinachi ke afar lakol tiyeh. What is afar? So we said Tosa says afar means something you can't get destroyed, but he doesn't go that way. He says, what is afar? Afar is able to be moved and changed based on what you make of it, right? You could build out of afar, you could mold something out of afar, you could just let it be flat on the ground. Depends on what you're able to do with the afar. Vinachi ke afar lakol tiyeh means that my nefesh should be able to be like afar, that I could move with, I could roll with the punches, I could change. I'm not, this is who I am, and I can't change, I can't do anything. A cult yet, someone makes fun of me, someone does X, Y, and Z to me, whatever it is, I could be like afar, that today I could be like this, and my nefesh today could be like this. So I could go ahead and I could change based on the circumstances. Okay, so the next part. Okay, so now we understand the first sentence. The next, then we say psach libi besar secha uve mitzvah secha tirdof nashi. Okay. Now this line seems out of place because the next line v'chol achoshim alai ra'am mehira fer tassam v'gakel machashavtam fits with the part before. What was the part before? Hold myself back from speaking badly. Someone who curses me, I shouldn't respond. Vinashi ka'afar lakol tiyeh, if someone does something to me, I should be like afar and I should be able to be flexible and I shouldn't respond necessarily differently for every single person. And I should have skipped. V'chol achoshim alai rab, if someone has something bad for me, oh, please get rid of this thing. Well, in the middle, tzach li yusar zara. It's a beautiful tefillah. Maybe we have a lot of kavanah there. But it seems out of place when it's speaking about me affecting the world or me relating to things that are going to happen to me in the world. So this kasha is asked by the Riben Yakar. The Riben Yakar, again, like we said, was the Rebbe of the Ramban. And he says as follows. He says that the Psach Libi B'Sar Secha is in order so that I can be quiet from the Mekala line. He brings the Medrash Shochar Tov, that the Torah was given in order so that one won't be busy with speaking Lashon Hara and meaningless words. So by learning the Torah and being involved with the mitzvahs, that's a way of speaking badly, to stop from speaking badly. So really, Psach Libi B'Sar Secha, Mitzvah Secha Tirdof Nashi, is the first clause, open us up so that I won't be Lashoni Meira, etc. It's going back on the beginning. If I'm involved with good stuff, right, then I'm gonna be involved. I'm not gonna want to speak badly. Right? It's a very, very important lesson in general, right? If someone is built up, if someone is develops the values of Torah, so that's the greatest way not to speak badly, right? Speaking badly is something when a person's empty, so he has to put someone down. But if he can build himself up, he's not going to want to speak badly about someone else, right? So Psach Libi B'Sar Secha, Mitzvah Secha Tirdof Nashi is a clause in order to help and allow that Hashem will guard me from speaking badly, etc. Okay. Then we say V'Chol Achoshim Alai Ra'am Mehira Fer Tassam V'Gakel Machshavtam. Okay, Tefillah. That anyone that's thinking bad, we want to get rid of that. And then we say, Aseleman Shemecha, Aseleman Yimenecha, Aseleman Kibshasecha, Aseleman Teresecha. Four different things that we say to Hashem, why do I want you to protect me? Do it for one of these four reasons. Now, this is very interesting. The tour in Siman Kuf Chav Beis 122, he says, he quotes a Haggadah, Divrei Haggadah, I guess, Amar Shmuel, Kol Azaris Lomer Dalad Var Malalu, anyone who says these four things, Zoche Umekabel Pnei Shechina. He's Zoche to greet the Shechina. What's that? Aseleman Shemecha, Aseleman Yimenecha, Aseleman Kedushasecha, Aseleman Teresecha. Okay, meaning it's not just something that was brought in on its own. Actually, these four words, Aseleman Shemecha, etc., is not in the Gemara in Brachos. It wasn't part from Mar Brei Ravina. It wasn't part of his tefillah. This is something that we add in. Why do we add in? I guess because of this tour. that there's some skula, there's some inyan, that if I go ahead and say this, then I'm zocha to be makab p'nei shechina. And the Sefer HaManig actually writes that if you say these four things, ain't tfiloso choseres reikon. So your tefillah is going to be accepted, and therefore we add this in. And the Bach on the Torah over there, Simcha Kufcha Beis, he says, Umatzasi kasev, the Masha kasev zocha makab p'nei shechina. What does it mean that you're zocha to makab p'nei shechina? Zel fi shebaosan daladvar miyachid ragli amerkava. A little bit Kabbalistic, okay? It's setting up the legs of the chariot that Hashem rides on. Leman shemecha hi ateres. Ateres is the crown, is the malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yemincha is the chesed. Tarascha is tiferes. Kedusha secha is gevura. Okay, so these are, okay, this is beyond me. I'm just telling you what the Bach says. It's in the Shulchan Aruch. Yeah, the Bach says that these are you're setting up the four wheels of the chariot from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When we say to Hashem, this Devekas Hashem, when a person doesn't speak Lashon Hara, he's close with Hashem, and he's Zocha L'Kal P'nei Hashchina. And this is why this part fits with the first part of the tefillah, because the Tzur L'Shoni Meira is that I want to be close to Hashem, like the Ragli Amerkava, like the carriers, the wheels of the chariot, and therefore we want to, we say to Hashem, do it for us, so for this, so that we could experience this makab p'nei shechina. Okay, I don't want to go that much over time. I just want to add in one more thing. The Siddur of the Chassam Sofer, he writes that Chazal tells us miyom shenechra beis hamikdash shari tefila ninalu, that when the beis hamikdash was destroyed, our tefilos, the gates for our tefila, had been locked up. So even though we recited all of these requests in our Shmon Esrei, we made all these bakashos, right? It's sitting there in a cloud, which has absorbed our tefilos, but can't go in yet. Like the pasuk in Eicha says, Sakosa be'anan lach me'avor tefila. It's just like this cloud that has our tefilos in there. But that same cloud is blocking our tefilos. The pasuk says in Bereishis Perek Tes, as kashti nasati be'anan. There's an arrow which can break the cloud. So what is that arrow? It is Rosh HaTevos kashti. What is the Rosh HaTevos? Kedushascha, Shimcha, Torascha, and Yemincha. That's kashti. These are the four things. By reciting them, Aseil Man Shemecha, Aseil Man Torzecha, Aseil Man Kedusha Secha, those four things are the way of breaking that cloud. By reciting them gives me the ability to break through the cloud and allow all my tefillos from the last 19 brachos to go ahead and enter. So we're saying to Hashem, don't do it for us. Do it L'man Shemecha. There shouldn't be a Chil Hashem for you amongst the Goyim. Hashem, if my tefillos don't happen and I end up in the Jewish people in a bad state, it's a Chil Hashem. Asei l'mani minacha. The Yamin, the strong hand, the Yamin is held back and not doing what it's supposed to be doing. Because Hashem, you're not listening to me. You're not letting me come close. You're not bringing back the Jewish people. Asei l'mani kedusha secha. Once the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed and the Shechina was in Galus, so the Kedusha hasn't felt the same way. So Hashem, bring it back. And Asei l'mani Torasecha, once the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the Torah is on the lower level, right? And therefore, we're saying, bring it back. So these four things, the Chassam Sofer says is a key to unlocking the fact that our tefillos are no longer as strong because we don't have the Beis HaMikdash, which of course is why we end off at the end when we say we want the Beis HaMikdash to come back and by Oz Hashem, right? That we want the Avodah to come back because this way all our tefillos will be able to be come back in the full sense of the word. Okay, Shkayach everyone.